Please turn in your Bibles to the passage which was read. We're going to stay right in that great chapter, the resurrection chapter. Now, we want you to understand that the church at Corinth was founded by Paul after 18 months of labor. He had laymen helping him, Aquila and Priscilla, and after 18 months, he left that city. Now, the city of Corinth was in Greece, and it was a city that was a commerce seaport city. People came from all over the world to Corinth. In fact, it became a very licentious, corrupt city, morally. In fact, to Corinthianize was to indulge in all types of fleshly sins. And so the church at Corinth had a place that would bring carnality. But Paul wrote to this church two letters. And in those letters, he gives us a great love chapter. He gives us a chapter on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And here in chapter 15, he talks about the resurrection. And I've chosen to talk about the resurrection. This pandemic has turned upside down the entire planet. And certainly it's affected the Church of Christ. The Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and we need to come together. It's frustrating as a pastor to pastor in these days, I'm sure. I heard of a man who was walking downtown, and he noticed up ahead of him about two blocks appeared to be his pastor. And so he was walking, following his pastor, and the pastor just disappeared. And he went up to where the pastor disappeared, and he saw he had fallen into a big manhole. And so he ran down to the fire station for help. And he went in and he said, the pastor has fallen into the manhole, let's get him out. And they continued playing checkers or chess and doing what they were doing. And the one man said, there's no need in being in a hurry. We don't need to get in a hurry about this. We don't need him till Sunday. And the pandemic, you know, you just think, well, we'll meet a little bit on Sunday and we'll stay clear from then. We're talking about the resurrection. And the question is raised, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they have? Now, Paul made it very clear that why should it be thought a thing impossible for God to raise the dead? And verse 35, how are the dead raised? What kind of body are they going to have? And we believe, without any question, the resurrection of the body. The first heresy to enter the early church was the heresy, of the bodily resurrection of Christ. And the cults and the false religions in America promote that very thing. The skeptic and the doubter still exist today. You can scatter their ashes, but they're going to be resurrected. Socrates, that Greek philosopher who lived 400 years before the birth of Christ, drank hemlock to take his own life. And those friends around him said, will there be a resurrection? Will we live again? And he said, I hope, but no man can really know. Well, I want to say, the resurrection question is settled. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. We're talking today about the resurrected body. What kind of a body will they have? First of all, I want you to see in our text that it'll be a body that pleases God. In verse 38, the King James says, but God giveth it a body as it pleased him. God's going to give everyone a body. God has a plan for your body. When he made you out of the dust of the earth, he took time. He knelt down. With his own hands, he formed you. Everything else was created by God saying, let it be. All the days of creation, God said, let there be sun, moon, and stars, and they were there. Let there be life in the sea, and it was so. But when it came to man, he formed man, took time and formed man out of the dust of the earth and said, it is very good. And when God recreates you and resurrects you, he's going to give you a body that pleases him. Now, there's a lot. We know very little about God, very little. These are parts of his ways. But we do know that God loves to rejoice. There are many attributes that God has, but we know that he rejoices. Zephaniah 3:17 says he sings with joy over his obedient children. He loves music. And he can be pleased, he can be displeased. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God was not pleased, Paul said, with those disobedient Israelites who questioned God and said, can God provide a table in the wilderness? God was displeased with him. And the prophet Malachi said, will God be pleased with the way you're living? God can be pleased. And he's going to give you a body that pleases him. And let me say this, if it pleases him, it will please you. Secondly, I find in our text, it will be a literal body. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet will sound, the dead shall be raised, and we shall be changed incorruptible. On resurrection day, we will have literal bodies. They will be tangible, touchable, very much a body. We're not going to be mere spirits and ghosts flying around. I said to you earlier in my message that some of the false cults and religions in America deny the resurrection of the body. There are those who would deny it. Someone said to Dwight L. Moody, why don't you fellowship with a certain group of people? And he said, ask him if they believe in the resurrection. So they went and came back and said, yes, they said they believe in the resurrection. He said, ask him if they believe in the resurrection of the body. And they returned and said, no, it's the resurrection of the spirit. Within the last year, we had a very nicely dressed woman come to the door of our house, knock, and I went to her, and she wanted to talk to me about religion and about the home. And she was a Jehovah's Witness. And I said to her, do you believe that Jesus Christ is very God of very God, and that he died for our sins and went into the tomb and was resurrected again? She said, no, he was just resurrected in spirit, and he was not God. We're going to have a literal body. Let me read from you Luke 24. Listen, verse 36. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The spirit of Jesus did not enter into the tomb, just the body. When you die, your spirit goes to God who gave it. But the body goes into the tomb. So all that went into the tomb was the body of Jesus. Now, on resurrection day, Jesus himself stood in the midst, it says, and they were terrified and affrighted. And he said, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, it is I. Not a spirit. And when they had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. What a glorious day that's going to be when he shows us his hands and his feet. Fanny Crosby said, I shall know him as redeemed by his side I stand. I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hand. We're going to have a literal body. It's going to be a healthy body. At the very best, our bodies are weak and frail. God knows that. In Psalm 103, verse 14, it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so God pitieth us. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. But this corruption must put on incorruption. There's coming a time when there's going to be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. God's going to wipe tears from our eyes, sickness and pain. None of these diseases, and we live in an age of disease, none of these diseases that seem to be worldwide, the pestilence that's now there throughout the entire world, none of these diseases will be ours. In fact, in that day, the prophet Isaiah said, the inhabitants shall never say, I'm sick. Not only are their sins forgiven them, he says in that verse, but they're never going to say that I'm sick, that we are sick. These bodies are susceptible to all kinds of sickness and disease. And even now in this present age, we're admonished to trust God in our sicknesses. John says, Beloved, I wish and pray for you that you might be in health as your soul prospers. James says, Is any sick, let him call for the elders, let him anoint him, and the prayer of faith shall raise up the sick. When Jesus healed in his day, Matthew said, It's fulfilled what Isaiah said, Himself took our sicknesses. In that day, there'll not be so much as a toothache. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, you'll be perfectly whole. Never a pain, no cancer, diabetes, stroke, heart attack, nothing. We're going to have a healthy body. We are going to have a spiritual body. If you read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44, it is sown a natural body. It'll be raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there's a spiritual body. And down in verse 48, As is the earthly, so also is the earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are those that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. There's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. It'll be sown a natural body, a human body, it'll be raised a superhuman body. God made the first body out of the dust of the earth, material, the soil, the ground. But when it's resurrected, it's going to be a spiritual body. Even now, as Christians, we have a spiritual birth. We must be born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. We have a spiritual walk. Romans 8:1 says, There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. You see, we have a spiritual birth, there's a spiritual walk, and we're to have a spiritual mind. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. And we're to be spiritually minded. But we do not yet have a spiritual body. Paul mentions this in Romans 8 when he said, Right now the whole creation groans. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of the body. We're waiting for the redemption of the body. And when we get that new body, it'll be a spiritual body. It will be redeemed. It will be changed. We'll serve him better. We'll do his will more perfectly. But some of you may say, well, doesn't the Bible say when we get to heaven we're going to rest? Yes, Revelation 14, 13 says they will rest from their labors. But I want to tell you, that's the laborers here. Because at least three or four times in the book of Revelation, it says they rest not day nor night. No, there's no night in heaven, but it says they rest not day nor night, but they serve him. We're going to serve him. We're never going to tire. We're going to serve him with a perfect body. And then Paul tells us it's going to be an eternal body. He says in verse 53, this mortal must put on immortality. That word immortality means we must put on a deathless body, a body that's never going to die again. Our bodies today are perishable. We live in a body that's going to decompose and decay, It's appointed a man once to die. For by one man, the Bible says, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. In that day of resurrection, we shall have an imperishable body, a body free from decay, decomposition. It'll be eternal. This body must die or be changed. If God in his mercy allowed us to live 70 or 80 years, we're there. Yet it's soon cut off and we fly away. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This body we're living in is going to die. Now you can eat health food, you can exercise, and that's good. I followed that all my ministry so that I might be healthy to serve God to the best of my ability. But you're not going to take that body that you're in now to heaven. It can't enter heaven. Flesh and blood can't enter heaven. You must have a body that's immortal and eternal. And then we find that it's a body like Jesus' body. One question is, what kind of body will we have? Well, it'll be one that pleases God. It'll be literal. It'll be healthy. It'll be spiritual. It'll be eternal. And it'll be a body like Jesus. 1 John chapter 3 says, but now are we the sons of God. Isn't that, we sang Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Right now we're sons of God. It doth not yet appear, John says, what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see, there's coming a day when we're going to no longer look through a glass darkly, John says, but we're going to see him face to face. And what a glorious day that's going to be. We're going to be with him. Colossians 3:3 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. We're not only going to see him and be with him, but we're going to be like him. That's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 when he says, he shall change our vow, that word vow means sickly, frail bodies, that they may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. If you're a child of God this morning, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your sins were taken out of the way and nailed to his cross. And you ought to be looking for Jesus who will come, the one who was crucified and buried and risen. You ought to be looking for him. He's going to change us. These poor, dying bodies of ours are going to be made like unto his glorious body. Glenn and Betty were my parishioners. Glenn was blinded early in life in a mining accident. And Betty was deformed, highly deformed. And they went through life together. He couldn't see, and she was greatly deformed. She would lead the way, and he would hold on to her dress. He died first, and she had a hard time in life. I was with her just hours before she went to glory. And she turned to me with a calm demeanor, and she said, Pastor, at least I'm not going to have this body in heaven. And I said, Betty, no, you're not. You're not going to have that body in heaven. What kind of body was Jesus' body? Well, all we know about it is what the Gospels tell us. Now, Isaiah the prophet does say there's no beauty that we would desire him. That's not what attracted us. It was his love at Calvary that did it. What he looked like, I don't know. But I do know this from the Gospels, that this resurrected, glorified body of his, he walked. Now, we're going to walk over heaven. There's no doubt about it. There's streets, that city that lies 4 square. we're going to enjoy one another's fellowship. We're going to walk. Jesus walked in that glorified body. He talked. He talked to them about what was happening, what was going on. He ate and he drank. And in his glorified body, he could just walk through a door. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, well, you mean if I forget my house keys, I don't need them. I just walk right through the door. Well, our body is going to be like his glorious body. It'll be like his. And then I want to close by saying, everyone will have a body. Everyone in that day will have a body. Listen to John chapter 5. Verily, verily, Jesus is speaking. I say unto you, the hour is coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And all that are in the grave shall hear the voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Your body was made for eternity. The body you're living in is going to be throughout eternity. It'll either be eternal life or eternal damnation. But you were made for eternity, the Bible tells us. And there's going to be two major resurrections for the believer and the unbeliever, for the Christian and for the non-Christian. We're waiting for the trumpet to sound. And when the trumpet sounds, the believers in Christ are going to be caught up, resurrected and changed. What a blessed thing that's going to be. Blessed are those that have part in the first resurrection. That's our resurrection. It can occur anytime, or our changed bodies. It could happen before the service is over. And then after 7 years of tribulation, God's going to put his Jewish nation under the rod. Two-thirds are going to be cut off. And after 7 years and 1,000 years, there's going to be another resurrection. And they're going to be resurrected and stand before God. The books will be open, and whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that will be a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Now, I trust this morning that you have come to Christ and you have made it clear that you've received him. Calvin Coolidge was our 30th president. He served under Warren Harding as vice president. And while he was serving as vice president, presiding over the Senate, two senators got in a very heated argument. And the one senator said to the other senator, well, you can go to hell. And the offended senator came down off of the platform, went over to the desk where Calvin Coolidge was sitting. He was known as Silent Cal. And he was there reading a book. And the senator said, did you hear what he said to me? Yeah, he said, I heard what he said. But he said, I've been checking the book. You don't have to go. If you've opened your life to Christ, and you've repented of your sin and you've said, Christ, come into my life. I want you as my Lord and Savior. In that glorious day, when the trumpet sounds, you'll be caught up to be with him. And Christian, I want to say to you, this body that you're living in is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're to honor God with it. You're to glorify God in your body and your spirit. We're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us is going to receive the things done in his body, this body, according as done, whether good or bad. We're going to give an account for how we've lived in this body. We call ourselves Christians. We're going to stand before him. People said, Pastor, will there be tears in heaven? Yes, there's going to be tears in heaven. The tears aren't wiped away until well into heaven. Because before the judgment seat of Christ, when you say, well, I never witnessed, I never said anything to my neighbor, to my relative. I never mentioned Christ to them. Well, it was your responsibility. If Christ was within you, he'll come out. He'll come out your mouth, your countenance. He'll do everything you can do to witness for your Lord and Savior. Yes, child of God, what a day that's going to be. But I ask you a question. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom, in its pages so fair, tell me, Lord Jesus, is my name written there? Yes, my name's written there, on the page white and fair, in the book of thy kingdom. Yes, my name's written there. Can you say that? Do you know that? Do you have that blessed assurance? If you do not, open your life to Christ today. Stand with him and for him publicly and say, I repent of my sin. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this glorious gospel, how Christ not only died for our sins and was buried, but he arose again. And his resurrection guarantees our resurrection. He was the first fruit, and when he comes, we shall follow him. But Father, I pray for that person here this morning who does not have that blessed assurance. Today, may they seek you and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner, and come into my life and live. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.